Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Burkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. Oh my bloody God, there's already a donation in the box. How are we all? We're going to get the donation in a second. Welcome to Burkamp Wonderland Live. The usual trials and tribulations that go with that. What a week so far. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to kick off with first, who's first in the box today? And that was the fantastic, the one and only Corey Austin. And then there was Anne 235100, then Captain Sirkan, then a bag of dicks, then Danny the GFP, J Rob piling in, Ron Ree, Granite's right foot is there, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, David Michael, Daniel Kupka, oh, Anton Klein, John Bernstein, Toya Adegobotolu. I think that's right, Toya. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Lossless, Grant Wilborn, Ron Ree, Stefan Selby. Oh, how are you all? You wonderful, wonderful gooners. And first with the donation, it was the one and only Michael Hahnemann. And he says, absolutely thrilled for Nick. Defensive frailties were still there, but that was a fantastic 15 to 20 minutes off the bench tonight. This is what he can do. Mike, I got to be honest with you, I think we've all been waiting to see that from him. And fair play to him. Walking up to those two, he looked like a £72 million player. So that was absolutely magic to see. So let's get straight into it. Tonight I'm joined by the one, the only. He's... I'm trying to think of something to say. And I'm
not a wasp.
Yeah, no, I know. He's the South Coast Santa, Jose Mourinho. It is Chris Carpenter. Hello, pal, you right?
Oh, hello, Jace. All right. How you doing?
You're a bit fucking late there, weren't you, pal?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just trolling you. It's all good. What a pleasure it is to see Danny shaven and looking like a normal human being for once. And you being you.
Cheeky fucker. Hey, you've already got a carpenter out there. That's great. How did the Pirates get on this weekend?
Didn't play, so fuck you.
That's good. That's the best result for a while. Jamie Fitzgerald piles in with another donation, and he says, he's here, he is the Pep. Well, let's hope that continues. It was great to see. Alongside us, we have Daniel, the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, John.
Okay, he's screwed me already. Chris Nadato smashes in with a donation. He says, Pepe better than Messi. Josh equals translucent and the Pirate is a tit. You are correct, Chris Nadato. You are correct.
Chris giving us money. Jesus. He's really got my phone number. I don't know why he's giving us money. He's got everything you could possibly want.
Arsenio Wonga piles in and says, oi, oi, Jason, I already tappy-tappied, so no shouties, please. Boys, I'm in a bit of a mood today, so get your tapping fingers ready. Okay, let's go. Chris, first of all, lineups. Lacazette back in after injury. Tierney and Hector in, but no Ozil again, not even on the bench.
Oh, God, are we really starting here?
Yeah, we're not being funny, okay? We get 350 grams of the player a week. Okay. Yeah. We've got bullshit coming from both sides. I'm not taking favourites here, but we're playing trash football. Monday night was a fucking embarrassment, to put it mildly, and yet you're still not seeing Mesut Ozil even on the bench. Now, if you're going to tell me, okay, that Unai Emery is putting his best foot forward, I'm calling bullshit. So talk to me about it, mate. Make the case for Emery being right on this.
I thought everything Sophie said on the podcast last night and what Lana said was spot on. I went this afternoon. I got my waders on. I hired a boat and I went on a lovely fishing trip on Twitter. It was very fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Caught a lot of snowflakes, had to throw them back, which was a shame. But no, in all seriousness, I don't get why everyone is so upset. I've said for a long time, and I'll say it now, I think he's a wonderful footballer. I think he's a hugely talented footballer. Unfortunately, we haven't seen the footballer that we paid the money for, that we were sold a dream on.
Can I come in here there, please? I'm gonna challenge you in that. Mm-hmm. I've heard all these arguments from both sides. Okay. This is what I've seen this season. I've seen pre-season Mesut playing well, working hard. I've seen him against Watford play okay, worked hard. Mm-hmm. That's all I've seen, okay? The rest of the time, he hasn't been picked. Or so he has been picked midweek game, Europa League. He played well, came off towards the end of the game and didn't moan, just got on with it. But he played well. So each time he has taken the pitch this season, he has actually played well, contrary to the bullshit that's coming out. So if he's not being given a chance to play, then, you know, to say he hasn't contributed is bollocks, because he has not been given the chance. And no, that's my issue, okay? And I do accept there's two sides to the story in this.
Yeah. So why do you think he's not been given the chance? I'll tell you why. In my opinion, he's not been given the chance because his attitude isn't right. He's not right.
He's not this week. He's working hard in training.
Of course he does. Of course Emery said that, because he's not going to come at that. It's like Sophie said last night. When you're a manager, you've got to play politics. You've got to do the right thing. There might come a time where three injuries, four injuries, whatever, where we might need him. But right now, it's the Pogba Mourinho thing all over again. A player doesn't dictate to a manager what he does. All the player can do is perform in training, have the right attitude, etc. Now, I think, and I know Sophie was very gentle with this subject. I agreed with her spot on. I think there's a mental fragility that Mesut has, and that's not his fault. That's not, you know, it's not something to be mocked. It's not something to say that it is a fault. But it is there. I think he has a mental.
I'm going to come in on that, mate. I'm going to come in on that. Okay. First of all, neither you nor Soapy are medical healthcare professionals.
No, agreed. But
I've got to be honest with you. I'm concentrating on what I've seen this season from our team and from Mesut Ozil, and for him to not even be in the matchday squad today, it does not add up.
No, I personally think it adds up very clearly that the manager doesn't want to play him because he doesn't rate the abilities he has. He doesn't think that he fits the system he wants to play. Whether you agree with that, whether you don't agree with that, that's fine. But the manager has to stand by his philosophies, just like he stands by his formation, by his tactics, by his style. Again, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that we were creatively brilliant against Sheffield United or tonight, because we weren't. But I get so sick and tired, and I think they said it in commentary tonight on BT, where a player gets almost better the more he doesn't play. This is a classic example, you know, and the whole tweet thing and that, and don't get me wrong, as I said, I had a bit of fun earlier on. Nobody knows whether that tweet was aimed at Emery or not, but let's be honest, it bloody was. And for me, when you're a player earning that amount of money a week, whether that's your choice or not, you signed that contract, you knew what was expected of you, you need to put in far more work than just sitting on a multi-million pound Adidas contract and taking the rights from that. He can't be performing in training, Jason.
Bear me a second. I agree with you there. I think there's two sides to every story, okay? I think it's fair comment. We're going to get into the game in a second. I will turn around and say, I will say this, the club are happy to brief against him. He has a right to reply, and he will do that any which way he can, okay? And I do find there's a lot of vitriol around this at the moment, and it's getting a bit much of this.
He needs to go. Sorry, just needs to go.
I'm not being funny. Emery's going to go for him. So
I don't think he will.
I'll bet you 20 quid euro now on that. Emery goes for him. Sweet. If you're taking, let's take that then. J Rob just smashes in with a donation and he says, liking Martinelli, great attitude, good lad. I've got to be honest, I couldn't agree more. Right, Danny, let's get into the game, mate.
Oh, that's a novelty.
No, sorry. I like all this. I like a bit of banter. I've been looking forward to this.
Case, we're not millennials. You like taking the piss, not banter. You know how much I hate the banter words. We're grown-ups. We take the piss.
I do agree. I do
just
agree.
The start as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm not being funny, boys. I think we're at a tumultuous time for the club, and there's a lot of opinions flying around. So let's get them out there. Let's have a chat about it. Dan, Vitória started. They came out of the blocks. We didn't come out of the blocks at all beginning the game. First 5 minutes, poor start. Martinez saves from Almeida. Vitória coming at us. And then before you knew it, Edwards has scored. Awful defending. Tierney, awful. Holding, awful. Both done. Okay? And Edwards fires them in front. What were you thinking at this point?
Well, the woman who was doing the co-commentary, Arsenal female woman, ladies team legend, I can't remember what her name was.
Karen Carney.
I was going to say Karen Carpenter. I was nearly there. She made a very good point. She's not a magnificent commentator, but that's the kind of thing that comes with time. She made a great point. 10 changes from the last game. Quite a lot of these players are either new to the club, new to the first team, or coming back from injury. It's not like if this lot would have played on Monday, then you'd have gone, well, they've had a game recently, and so that they're getting closer to being match fitness. You can't just come in the cold, new formation, new players, and all that lot, and then have it running straight away. Plus, the Portuguese team were up for it right away. They had a plan. They knew what they were doing. They got knocked out of the Portuguese Cup by a third division team at the weekend. So they were obviously concentrating on tonight's game. And much like Sheffield United, teams know that if they come at us with a plan straight on, sometimes it takes us a while to warm up. And I think we saw that in the second half, a couple of substitutions, and we were the better team. But these players, it does take a while. Bellerin looked quite rusty for most of the game. And
But bear with me a second. I don't buy that at all, because they've rested half their squad. Because they're playing Porto or Sporting Lisbon on the weekend. So they've rested half their squad. So they've done exactly the same as we have.
Are you sure they've rested half their squad?
Yeah.
I thought it was almost the same squad that they play in the league.
That's what Colin said.
Who? Simon?
Yeah.
Well, Simon's right. I'm wrong. So I've got no idea then.
I'm sorry.
We're vulnerable though, aren't we? If you come at us early on, we don't like it. And that's what they did. And they took their chances. You know you're going to get beaten in the end, so you might as well go for it early on. And that's what they did, or early doors, as there's the people in the know like to say. But if Simon says that, then, yeah, Simon's always 100% right, because he's a brilliant journalist.
There you go. Okay, Chris, the first 10 minutes was putrid from us. The first half was putrid from us. You had Willock, awful, giving the ball away constantly. Him and Torreira did not look comfortable as they had done in the previous tie. Smith Rowe looked short and on confidence. He didn't look at the races. You also had AMN. He looked totally out of it. And what was really disappointing for me, Lacazette. Okay, it seemed like he had amnesia on the offside rule. Couldn't even pull his shoelaces together at one point. Do you know what I mean? He just looked out of sorts. That was like the first 25 minutes. What were your thoughts on it?
Honestly, I think that's a bit harsh on Lacazette, first of all. I think
he got caught 4 or 5 times offside.
Yeah, he did.
He's played
1.5 games in 3 months. I mean, you know, come on.
These are basics of the game, mate. Come on.
I think that's harsh. I'll leave it at that. But the rest of them, I agree. I agree with you. I think Willock and Torreira were average at best. I didn't think they did particularly well. I thought Maitland-Niles was appalling. I've got to be honest. I like the kid, and I hope it comes right for him. But I remember when he first broke into the team, I remember Dom and I having a conversation about it, and everyone was raving. This is the guy who's going to run the midfield, the new Vieira, and bollocks. I'm sorry. The kid is raw, and he, for me, he's out of his depth in midfield, personally. I think that's the reason why he was played some into that fullback, because I think they hoped that they could convert him into a player who could cover that position. And to be fair to me, you know, he did a good job. As a midfielder at this level, I personally don't think he's going to be the long-term solution. I hope I'm wrong. But in a game like tonight where there wasn't much pressure on him, or certainly shouldn't have been, he's too laid back for his own good. And I think that you remember when Wilshere first broke through, a very similar type of player in that he dropped the shoulder. He takes the ball into positions where he invites a tackle, but he used the ball really, really well. Maitland-Niles doesn't have that final pass, and he doesn't have that vision for me, and I worry about him long-term.
He's played two games of midfield for the season.
Yeah, but I'm not having that argument, Jace. He's played two games of midfield this season, but it doesn't change the fact that even when he was a right-back, his decision-making is poor. He invites players to close him down in areas where he's not good enough to dribble out of. That's been the same since he's been a right-back.
I would turn around and say, in the same time that he's on the pitch, we're lucky to get the ball away more than him.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
But the ball away more than him.
No, I agree with you. But about Ed Maitland-Niles, that's the only point I'd make. I agree with you on Willock. What Willock has done since he's come into the team has been tenfold in that position than what Maitland-Niles has done in either position for me. It just is. I think he's a far better technical player. He wasn't good tonight. I agree with you. And I think Torreira is suffering with... Torreira, for me, is a player who he's got to play. If he doesn't play and he has five or six games out of the side, he struggles. He really struggles. He's a continuity player. And I think he will get better the more games he plays. You take him in and out of the side, don't think he's the same player. And he certainly isn't when you play him further up the pitch. As I say, it's not a hate campaign. I'm not saying, oh, mate, Nas is terrible, take him out the back and shoot him. I'm just saying that, for me, a game like that exposes the weaknesses and the amount of people that were clamouring for him to be the centrepiece of our midfield. Not for me.
I don't remember him. He's been clamouring for the centrepiece.
There's plenty, mate. Honestly, there's plenty. But
I'm not sure. I haven't seen that, pal. I really haven't. Dan, we get some good work from Lacazette. On the counter attack, ball comes out wide to Tierney. Really good cross from Tierney. A Martinelli levels for us with a really decent header. This boy, he just keeps on impressing, doesn't he?
You know, we always take the ball. I don't, but people regularly go, "Oh, you know everything you know from watching YouTube videos of players, and that they're very misleading." All I know about Tierney is from that YouTube video. It's 15 minutes long. All it is videos and clips of him running down the left hand side, doing the old John Aldridge stutter, sending the player the wrong way, then cutting in or carry on running down that side and putting in the pinpoint 90 mile an hour balls onto people's heads. And he's just magnificent. I know he was at fault for the first goal because of his tracking back, or maybe it was the second goal because I've been a bit ill today. So I missed parts of the game, but we know that's what he can do. He's going to track back. He's at one point during the game, I don't know if it's before or after this point, he was running back to goal with the player behind him to get the ball. And then when the ball bounced, he headed it towards our corner and then carried on going. The other bloke, the player that was chasing him, went, "I'm not going to bother. This bloke is so cool, calm and collected. He's magnificent." And that goal just shows how much this bloke can actually do. And if he stays fit, because I know he's had a few injury worries, two lots of the same injury while he was at Celtic. If he stays fit, he's going to be our number one left back for the next decade. He could go down in history as one of our... He could be right up there with Winterburn, Cole and Silvino. No, not Silvino. As Winterburn and Cole, as one of our best left backs. He has everything. What is he, 22 years old? He has everything we could ever want from a left back. And even though he's not playing regularly, he's still pulling these out. Only if... Because we've complained that most of us... Well, I've complained that so often now, when our wing backs or full backs or wingers, when they come into the corners and they put the balls across, you think we've got Peter Crouch playing there, the height they put him in, but he is putting him in at the right height. So if he wouldn't have got it, Lacazette would have got it because they both jumped up and got it. Magnificent from Martin Leeds, who got his fifth goal already this season. I mean, there's people that have played 30, 40, 50 million pounds for players that haven't even got, but for forwards or attackers that haven't got five goals already this season. He's absolutely brilliant. And Tierney just makes me smile every time. And he's so composed on the ball. It's fantastic. I love it.
I thought Tierney had a tough night at the office tonight, to be fair.
Yeah, he did. That first bit where the first, I think it was the first or the second goal they scored, where the bloke come down the inside of him. And you should, as a fullback, you never let the bloke come inside you. Oh, Jesus, that sounds a bit like John's talking. No. So he got on the inside of him. And then he carried on going. And then as he's running down there, he then thinks, "Fuck, I ain't going to get this," cuts into into the box. So that's the second defensive move he's made, which is more than most Arsenal defenders ever do. And then that didn't work. And then he went lunge for the ball, and then he lunged another way for the ball. Tierney made four attempts to get the ball. Mustafi's never made four attempts to get a ball.
Whoa.
All right,
I'm not being funny. We're counting off players, okay, who've not done anything wrong tonight. Yeah, you know, to what?
Any defender, not Mustafi. It's just the first one I thought of.
And that's the same old bullshit, mate. It's the same old bullshit. We fucking play this as Arsenal fans constantly, okay? That guy's done fuck all wrong tonight. He still gets.
Oh, no, about Emery when we won.
No. Come on.
He's got a point there, Jace. He's got a point there.
All you've done is moan about Emery.
We
got 9 out of 9 points.
Hold up, yeah. I've not moaned about him. What have I done?
No, not tonight in general.
Hold up, yeah, boys. We're getting fucking humped in the league. Okay, and for the Sheffield tonight.
Fifth.
When we say that, we're 3 points ahead of Tottenham, aren't we?
Mm hmm. Best team the world's ever seen, apparently.
Yeah, but boys, we're going to head in. Let's not go there.
I didn't mean Mustafi in general, just the most of our defenders.
Boys, let's concentrate on what we've seen tonight, okay? Because enough of the bullshit. We're not doing that nonsense. Chris, then we go on to, lo and behold, I can't believe it. We've just drawn Neville and, well, Maitland-Niles just gives the ball away. Davidson jumps on it, drives forward, hits the post. And it was Duarte, was it, who scores on the rebound? They really jumped on it, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I blame Xhaka, to be honest. I'm joking. It was classic. It was classic. I'm only joking. It was classic Arsenal of old, wasn't it? Get back in the game. Get yourself into a position where you've got the crowd up, you know, everything's going your way, and then just switch off straight away. It was, to be fair on the lad, it was a hell of a finish. That has to be said, because the angle he hits it at, most of those end up in an old lady's house on a Sunday morning, you know, in their back garden, because it's a really difficult skill to perform in that sort of position and under that much pressure. So fair play to him. He took it very well. But yeah, defensively tonight, I thought we it actually looked like a back four of players that A, haven't played together very much, and B, were still not there. I know there was a lot of fans were questioning why Tierney didn't play on Monday. And I thought you saw a little bit tonight why that might not have been, because it's all right saying that players are back to fitness, but match fitness, it's difficult. It is difficult against opposition, and particularly a game like that where there's high pressure. I think tonight's game, in theory, should have been a little bit less harem scarum as it was. And I thought Bellerin on the other side as well. People have to be patient with Hector. He's going to take time to get back to his fitness levels, to get back to match fitness levels. Again, Kieran Carney made a good point on commentary. The game moves on when players are injured. It takes a while for them to get back up to speed. And I thought even Rob Holding had a few moments tonight where he looked a little bit suspect on the turn. It'll take time, but there were some worrying moments. And just on the fullbacks, I agree with what Danny was saying about Tierney. My one slight concern, probably more for Hector than Tierney, but both have the same of this. They're both brilliant going forwards, but they're both a little bit suspect going the other way. And I've always said, particularly about Hector, is he's not a very good defender. You know, it's not a slate on him. He's got better. But he's not a brilliant defender. He's not a brilliant right back or left back.
To be fair, okay, a lot of people are forgetting when Hector got injured at the last season, okay, he was getting slated by a lot of corners.
Yeah, and that wasn't fair. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, that was harsh. He's a brilliant footballer. You know, he's a great athlete and he's a top bloke and clearly loves the club. I'm not disputing his ability. I just worry about, I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I want my defenders to be able to defend.
But Chris, you, that's fine if you want your defenders to be able to defend, but Unai wants all his width from those defenders. He wants them up high. So you can't ask them to defend and be up high at the same time. It doesn't work that way, and that's the manager's responsibility.
Yeah, you've got to find a blend, I agree.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's Unai's job. Gabriel Gamal Kaufman, thank you ever so much for the donation. You're always in there supporting. We do appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
Ben,
first half, you have a couple more shots. My notes are, this is fucking awful. It was the team get booed off at halftime, and rightfully so. Those are Simon Collins's words, not mine. What were your thoughts on the first half? Because it was pretty putrid, wasn't it?
Who are you talking to?
You.
Oh, right. I was just saying thanks to Gabrielle. Just to make sure we say thanks to people when you give us some money. I was expecting a lot more from this game, especially by halftime. For us to be losing 2-1 at halftime, to concede that very sloppy second goal, which is it just shows that I think our players thought, that's it, they've scored when it hit the post, and so they stopped running. I was looking at it out the corner of my eye as I was being ill, and then their striker thought, I've got a chance here. And not only did he keep on going and took the chance, scored. And that's very... very lazy from our players. But what we were saying on the podcast last night, why do we play better in the Europa League than we do in the Premier League? Because you've got all these young players. But then just at halftime, two of those players were taken off, which you're going to come to next. But I was a bit disappointed. I thought, we've got to do more. If we've seen so many sections of the first team that play the Premier League games, so many players are playing badly. Not going to name names in case you shout at me. This is your chance to go in there and show the manager, hey, look, so-and-so isn't playing well. I'm going to show you I'm a better player than this player and I want to be in the first team. And some of the players have done that. Some of the players haven't done that. I thought Laka was... Yeah, so lots of people have been putting in the chat box that Laka just looked off his game tonight. Laka didn't look happy. He's not looked happy for a few games now. I don't think whatever's going on at the club hasn't affected Martinelli yet. Smith Rowe looks good, which is good because a couple of times that he's played in, compared to how he's played in the Europa League already this season, where I think he hasn't looked part of the game, I thought he looked quite good. I wasn't happy with Maitland-Niles. I thought it was his fault to give away the ball away for them for the second goal, possibly. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Maitland's nice.
There you go. I remember only because I remember the commentator saying that she was very disappointed with him. I think some players for the first half, some players showed what they can do. Some players didn't turn up, and some players looked like they had the hump. And I think that's what happens when you make 10 changes. There's not enough continuity going from game to game.
But we made 10 changes the last few games, and we beat these teams easily. We've left tonight. Okay. 17 shots they've had at us. We've had 15 against them. We're at home. This team have not scored in Europa League this season.
But they were bloody good tonight. Let's not do them down. Standard the age, we're dog shit. This lot were organised.
Shots on target, 5 each. Okay. They were brilliant tonight, to be fair. On the break, they were really, really good. So you're saying they couldn't out-tactic Standard the age.
No, I'm not saying that. No,
but we can't attract
it. No, I'm not saying that.
He's not falling for that one. Damn.
Can't put words in my mouth, Mr. Davis. You can put all sorts in my mouth, but not words. Giggity.
I love it. So, Chris, come on now. Honest opinion, that was an awful first half from us, let alone the goals we conceded. Okay. The general level of play, we couldn't string two passes together. We created very little. I don't think anybody came off that pitch with any credit in the first half. Maybe Martinelli, maybe, but nobody else. What were your honest thoughts on it?
Oh, before he answers that, Rudy has put a quote in here from Bellerin from tonight. Do you want to read it?
I can't find it first, sorry, Ben.
Okay, he says, from Bellerin, I think we have to keep the ball better. That's our trademark. We want to play football. Sometimes you make mistakes, but doesn't mean you stop playing that way. People don't put fake quotes in just in case, because now we've read one out. I think that's a very good point from Bellerin. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's good. I just watched that interview, funny enough. Yeah, he was very honest. I did think it had the whiff of a game that we... dare I say, sort of thought we'd turn up and just win comfortably. And it's a funny one, really, because it doesn't matter how good an athlete or how good a sportsman you are, there is an element of that that happens to even the greatest teams. You look at what happened to Man City when they played Wolves a few weeks ago. Like, it does happen. You know, you can go into a game overconfident, thinking that we smashed Standard Liège and they're a similar size club, similar sort of size in terms of their league and whatnot. So there probably is an element of that. Also, there's a bit of an element on, like Danny was saying earlier on, the sort of thrown together nature of the team, but the fact that there's so many players that aren't playing regularly together. And there wasn't even a spine today of players that have been playing week in, week out in the Premier League, including Laka coming back. So, yeah, I think there's an element of that. And I think we played like a side that probably needed a rocket. And for the record, I did think we came out second half a lot better. The midfield changes were the right changes to differing degrees. Sometimes you do just have to hold your hands up. It is quite funny, really. I remember when Unai first came in and made these changes and everyone was raving about the fact he was willing to make a change. The guy does it tonight and gets zero credit. I do find that quite ironic.
He can't win either way.
He can't.
People are moaning that he used to do it at halftime. We thought it was refreshing after Wenger. Mm. No, it doesn't. People are going, "Oh, what are you taking?
Why are you changing it?" Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I do think it's a little bit of revisionism there from.
I think what people are annoyed about is the fact that he doesn't get it right in the first place.
Yeah, but that said, Jace, if Willock and Ainsley Maitland and Niles play brilliantly and we win 5-0 today, nobody says fuck all. So it's very revisionist of some.
Yeah, look, I've got to be honest with you. One of the things that has made me sick, and I don't like it at all, is the fact that. You know, or it's Freddie who's who gets the credit when we play well, and Unai when we play badly.
Yeah,
you know, Unai is the coach. Do you know what I mean?
And it's not just Freddie either. There's a lot of a lot of that. You know, when Carlos Caicedo, I remember Steve, God rest his soul, used to say how much of an influence he has on the team in training, and it's true. You can see that. So it's never just down to any one person.
They work as a team, and the bottom line is it. It's not Freddie who's going to carry the can if things go wrong. And it's like there's been a lot of talk about the Europa Cup wins or his time at PSG. Never take away a man's achievements. He's done that. He's gone out and earned it. He's the one who carried the can. He's the one who gets the plaudits. Everybody who listens to this show knows my thoughts on Unai. It's no secret.
What's your thoughts on Unai, Jay?
You haven't said, Chase. Do let us know.
I know.
Quiet.
But Jace, never mind.
It was a donation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've already read it out because I'm busy cutting and pasting. I'm doing the questions tonight, people.
Oh, check. What's that? Check. Is that Czech krona?
Daniel Kupka. Daniel Kupka. I wish these two Muppets would shut up and let me get on with this. Daniel Kupka has smashed in the donation. And he says, keep up the good work, lads. Unai won't let Torreira play at DM. Unai, stop being Unai. I kind of like that. So thank you, Daniel. You're always a star, mate. We really appreciate that. That was the first half, guys. There's 322 of you watching right now. 322 of you watching. And I got 68 likes.
And we got someone from Uganda. That's new.
Well, we've had people from Uganda before.
Oh, we can fuck off then.
No, he can't fuck off. He's got to stay in and listen. But
if we don't get more than 100 likes, I'm getting naked on camera.
I'm not being funny. I expect 150 fucking likes, okay? I've had to sit through that shit tonight, okay? I've had to sit through Willock just spraying the ball to the opposition. EMN thinking he's on holiday. He's just there. Oh, yeah, well. I'm not going to look around. I'm going to just play it to somebody else. Then I got Dani Ceballos. Oh, Dani Ceballos. The new Santi Cazorla. Yeah, too many fucking touches. No end fucking product.
You wash
it's
your mouth
fucking
out.
Embarrassing, okay? I'm telling you something now, people. If you want to be fucking Dani Ceballos in midweek fucking clown, okay? Carry on and don't like. If you want to be Thierry Henry, if you want to be Nicholas Set-Piece Pepe, okay, standing over that free kick, looking like a £72 million fucking player, you know, having the balls to smash it in the back of the net, okay, then start tapping that like button. But if you're not going to bother, don't fucking come around here expecting a little bit of fucking love. You ain't fucking getting it. You're like the Barbican Pirates on a Sunday morning.
Oi.
The referee walks up and thinks, Carpenter, you're getting humped today.
Again. Ref, are you hearing this, ref? Have a word.
We're up to 90. We're 60 short. This is just not good enough. This is just not good enough. People, your parents right now, okay, are having a real think. And they're thinking, should we adopt the fucker out? Should we get the fucker out of the family? Because I've just about had enough of this shit. They can't press a like button. It's not really fucking good enough, is it? So look, before you have to write to your family, don't be Unai Emery. Be Herbert Chapman. Tap the like button. Let's get going. Thank you very much. Right, let's get on with this.
Someone requested an appearance from Aaron Ramsey. Is he anywhere near?
He's injured, isn't he?
Hello, my name's Aaron Ramsey. Hey, Chris, I got 2 fucking cup-winning goals off my own boot. Who the fuck are you? And who the fuck is that twat Santi Cazorla? Fucking hell, he can just about walk now.
That looks more like Granit Xhaka.
How's the hammy?
Sorry, can't resist. Can't resist that. All right. Massive thanks to Chris Shea. Oh, Chris Outlaw for that. Just brilliant. It's your fault, that is. That is your fault, Carpenter. To say... Sorry, this has just gone to shit again. Second half kicks off. Dan, straight to you. Maitland-Niles and Willock off. Ceballos and Guendouzi on. We didn't start any better second half, did we? We were straight under the cosh. You get Martinez making a great save from Poha from at the near post. Martinez has to save from a Davidson header. Fucking Laka caught from the offside again. We came out as badly in the second half as we started the first half.
Yeah, there does seem a little bit of a confidence issue. You know, I was trying to figure out. So we took, who did we take off? We took Willock off for, Willock came off for Ceballos. That was almost a straight swap in the number 10 hole. And then Maitland-Niles came off. And who came on?
Guendouzi.
Now, that made me think that it's kind of unbalanced the team a little bit, because then Smith-Rowe had to go out to the left, which isn't really his position. And I think that unbalanced the team a little bit. I'd have thought it had been a better idea if you'd have stuck 3 in midfield to control the midfield a little bit more and try and play Lacazette and Martinelli up front together. And it didn't really work out until we had Martinelli up front, and then we had more balance on the right from when Pepe came on. That's when I think we looked a lot better. But like people have been putting in our chat box saying that Torreira is playing as a number 10 and playing up wide like that. There needs to be more midfield discipline. It's lovely to see Guendouzi coming on. One part, I don't know at what point it was in the game, but they were about to take a throw-in, and there was a massive big gap. So we had one player here, taking a throw-in, the corner flag, and there's a big gap. Guendouzi ran from the centre box, went, "Oi, you, get over there." No one went over there, so Guendouzi ran over there to block that space up, and then when they threw the ball in, I think we managed to get the ball back anyway. So I love that about Guendouzi. He's barely out of nappies, and he's already bossing the game, shouting and screaming, which is what we want from people. You don't have to have one captain on the pitch telling everybody what to do. Guendouzi's doing it, and his vision of what's going on is getting better and better by the game. He's so good, but he needs to have more defensive discipline. You need to say, Torreira, you just cover the back two. That's your job. You're the last man. Guendouzi, you run around, get the ball from Torreira, spray it all over the pitch, or give it to Ceballos, and Ceballos, you're going to give it to the strikers to try and score goals. That's what their 3 main jobs of those people are on the pitch. But when you've got Torreira further up the pitch than what you've got Ceballos, when you've got Guendouzi covering at left back, centre back, right back, covering in goal, covering up front, there's massive holes in our midfield. And like you were saying, Jace, these people just run through the midfield, and Martinez saved us again. I think Martinez didn't have a magnificent game. I think that first goal he could have saved, but people are saying in the chat box as well, because everyone seems to see it's blatantly obvious, there needs to be more midfield discipline. Our midfield is an absolute mess because so many players are playing in each other's positions. And
I just don't think he's got a clue he's doing that. I got to be honest with you. I felt that Chris will take issue with this, okay? And he's got every right to. But I think at the moment, you see a lot of effort from Guendouzi, okay? You can't beat his heart. You can't beat his desire. He has improved various aspects of his game from last season. You can see it in there. But without that discipline of playing certain areas, he's a little bit too over here, a little bit too over there at times. Do you know what I mean? He's not disciplined. He's all over the place. Similar to Torreira. Torreira, he was awful today. He was truly awful. I don't think the midfield improved at all from first half to second half. And that's my honest opinion. We didn't control the game at all, which was really frustrating. And I thought one of the things that summed it up, Chris, I really want your opinion on this. Emile Smith Rowe in the box, Tierney gets the ball across to him, plenty of time, just shoots wide. I didn't think Smith Rowe had a good game today.
I thought it was mixed. He should have done better with that chance. It did come to him quite quickly, but he seemed to shin it. I didn't think he played bad. I think what Danny was saying about him being out of position, a lot of the second half didn't help. I think he's a sort of a creative type of player who's better deployed in the middle. A lot of people gave Iwobi flak in the time he was at Arsenal because he was playing out wide, and I've always thought he was better as a number 10. Lo and behold, Everton play him in the 10, and he looked brilliant last weekend. So it's a similar one for us with Smith Rowe. I think he's better in a central area. I didn't think he was bad. As I say, I just felt that the midfield essentially changed completely in the second half. It was a complete change around. There were players in different positions in different parts of the same half, which again, you know, it needs to happen because you're chasing a game and you're trying to get back in a game. You have to throw caution to the wind a bit and try a few things. So that's where you lose the quote unquote discipline. Just one thing I just want to add to, I won't go on a Guendouzi, loving, but I'll say again, and I'll keep saying it, and eventually somebody will get this. This kid is 20 years of age. He came from Ligue 2. He played a handful of games for Lorient, and he is running Arsenal's midfield. And anybody that thinks otherwise, I don't know what you watch. I just don't.
I challenge you there straight away because this midfield isn't dominating anybody.
Okay. No, but he's the only one who tries it. He's the only one who tries anything.
You can run a bad midfield all you fucking want, okay? Because I'm not being funny. I like Guendouzi, okay? When I'm looking at this midfield at the moment, I think Dani Ceballos is an utter waste of space.
I don't agree with that either.
One decent game against fucking Burnley. He did okay when he came on against Spurs. He's done fuck all apart from the Europa League.
It's October, Jace. We're writing players off. What is it? And this is not a criticism of you. This is the world we live in. We're writing off players. Literally, it's like drive up the entranceway of the training ground. It's ridiculous. Like,
nobody's writing players off. I expect them to deliver. There's a quarter of the season gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are 3 points ahead of Tottenham Hotspur, who are apparently an absolute disaster. Okay. We're only 5 points ahead of United.
They're still a disaster.
Yeah, but we're not doing it much better. Okay. I'm watching this football week in, week out, and it's fucking awful.
Hmm.
It is fucking painful to watch, okay? And I've had enough. I'm not writing players off. I still think Unai can turn this around.
Hmm.
He can, if he puts his head to it, he can turn this around. But don't tell me that Dani Ceballos' appearances have been acceptable this season, because they haven't.
I thought that wasn't what we were allowed to do.
He came on this
half and he did nothing.
I don't think he did. I think that the problem you get with a player like Ceballos is that he does his best work when he's on the ball. That is when he is at his best. I don't think he's a player who runs around a lot and does all that. His best position and his best place on the football pitch is the ball at feet, head up, and trying things. And the problem with a player like that is that when you do try things, of the 10 to 20 things you try, half, sometimes more, are not going to come off. Now, I would much rather have a player who tries something like that than certain players who will remain nameless, who just plod through games doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and never go anywhere. Like, I'd rather have a player who tries something.
I've got to be honest with you, tonight, he'd get the ball, five touches, give it away.
Yeah, but he tried something. It's not always about, but you've got to have the right players moving as well. The amount of times, and I don't want to go back to our olden times, but Sanzi was brilliant at this, where he would take the ball into space, open it up, and a player would move into that space. And the passes, imagine how bad a player Dennis Bergkamp would have looked if he didn't have the runners that he had in the teams that he played in. It's not just about the player that's in possession. It's about the movement off the ball. Now, that, I agree with you, that's on the manager to get the right work rate, the right system, the right players in the right positions creatively. But there's no good, there's no point in having three of, in my opinion, the best three of the best forwards in the Premier League, maybe even in Europe on their day, not right now, but on their day, they're three of the best around. There's no good having them there if you've basically got 2/3 players in midfield who are capable of nothing but passing the ball sideways or passing the ball backwards or just lumping it long or charging around the pitch.
I accept that. So why doesn't Unai Emery pick him in the Premier League?
Why doesn't he pick Ceballos?
Yeah.
Because I still think he's getting to that point where Unai doesn't 100% feel that he's settled into that role. He's clearly very wedded to Xhaka. I'm not saying he's right. I would play Ceballos.
I apologize.
Not being more convinced, you know. I wouldn't have Xhaka in that midfield personally. I would do exactly what Danny said. I'd put Guendouzi in front of Torreira. Torreira would sit in front, and I'd say to Guendouzi, do what you do. And just one other point on Guendouzi, and then I'll shut up, I promise.
No, I've got to come in.
I'm going to finish this. The same people that say to me that Guendouzi just runs around like a headless chicken and he just runs around the pitch, go and watch N'Golo Kante and you tell me that he doesn't run around the pitch following people, and that's what makes him one of the best world-class midfielders in the world right now. He does the same thing. He's not that level. I'm not saying he is, but N'Golo Kante does exactly the same thing. But apparently when Guendouzi does it, it's headless chicken. When Kante does it, it's the best DM in the world.
And 235-100 puts in the box. Oh dear, mummy and daddy are fighting again.
It's all about opinions, like ours.
That's absolutely brilliant. Hey, look, that's all I'm going to say. On the goal of Kante, okay, 2 league titles on the trot.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I'm not disputing that. He's brilliant, but I'm just saying.
Let's get on. So, Dan, next we have Garcia and Lacazette on the byline. Garcia does go to... they have it coming together. Lacazette falls over. But gobs off to Garcia. Garcia comes up. There is contact with the head. What we then see from Lacazette is a shameful dive. Pretty embarrassing stuff from Laka.
They nearly killed him. What are you on about? Lacazette's lucky to survive that. Last time I saw a wound like that, someone had been headbutted by Hulk Hogan. No. I think you've misread that, Jace. That's fake news. No. Poor Lacazette did nothing wrong.
Chris, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He was trying it on, wasn't he? The only thing I would say is during the commentary, I don't know whether they were what pictures they were looking at. They're like, oh, there's clearly no touch of the head. But there clearly was. Like, he does clearly bump into his face.
There was contact. There's no getting away from that. Yeah.
No, there was contact, but no, it was 6-1 half. So that was Laka basically going, we're 2-1 down. We could do with it when being down to 10. Let's have a go. That's all it was. I think when he watches it back, he'll probably go, that wasn't great.
But, shouldn't have done that.
We've had it done to us enough times, haven't we? So, you know, it's one of them.
And to be fair, I've had a pop at Lacazette before now for not going down. Do you know what I mean? So the poor bugger can't win, can he?
No. He was frustrated, I think, as well. You know, he's clearly not 100% up to speed yet. So
he just didn't look happy.
I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he's up to speed yet. And also he misses his power. You know, when Auburn's not there. He wasn't even watching him tonight. You know, those two, I'm convinced they go to bed together at night. Not like that. That would be wrong. Okay. But not wrong, but you know what I mean. Before we get hate campaigns against us. But no, they're best mates and they play together in, you know, in the same system better. I think when one's there and the other one's not, they're not quite as effective, but it'll take him a few weeks to get himself up to
it. Lacazette is missing a runner from midfield. Whenever he's going back to goal, he loves it. When Rams used to come off and come on to him, he's loving that because he can lay off, turn and go, and he's missing that badly. Jamie Fitzgerald smashes in with a donation, and he says, what's going on with the Carpenter hairline? Side note.
Well, it's running away slowly, you know. Unfortunately, my friend, age catches up with us all. I mean, look at Danny. I mean, he started the show with a full head of hair.
I've got hair right there. Got a little bit of hair.
You're a little bit Phil Oakley for me. Don't you want me, baby?
Even a fraction of his wealth, I'm fine with that. No problem.
I can imagine.
I feel more Pat Sharp, to be honest with you. But
I haven't stopped dancing yet. I remember them all. I abused him in Docklands. Right, people.
That's being weird, Jace. I'm doing for the one. I hate charity. Charities can all go fuck themselves. One time in my life, I'm doing something for charity. I am doing Movember. I'm growing my hair, what's left of it, and I have sideburns down to here. And I'm doing the full handlebar moustache for Ellis's dad and Steve for Movember. So when I set that up, I expect all of you to go and give us lots of money.
I'm going to mention that at the end of the show.
I've done it.
You have. Good man.
You mean the boss of me?
I ain't the boss of you.
Craig McHale Smith. Sorry, Michael Hannemann just said I look like Craig McHale Smith.
Peter Bower legend.
Oh, Jesus. That's harsh, Michael. That's harsh. People, I've got 109 likes. It's not really fucking good enough, is it? You are so Unai Emery and so not Herbert Chapman, so not George Graham, so not Arsene Wenger. You're just Unai Emery at the moment. And if you'd like to tap that like button, please, okay? Don't act like fucking Lacazette going down after he's been touched by a feather. No. Be like Martinelli going for the header. Come on, people. Come on. When Chris dyes his hair, he doesn't think about the consequences. He doesn't care about what he's going to look like in the morning. He says, I'm having this. Let's have it. I'm going blonde today. I'm going silver. He doesn't care. He takes pirates to the next level. He makes Johnny Depp look like a bad pirate. That's where Chris Carpenter is. So come on, start tapping that like button. I need 32 more likes, please. Otherwise, you're all on the fucking naughty step. And there's going to be hell to play.
We'll send Lacazette around and nut you.
He's just going to miss, isn't he? Dan, 67 minutes, my notes are. This is fucking embarrassing. Ceballos is awful. Then you get Martinelli showing a bit of spark, picks the ball up deep, drives forward, and we've got Torreira screaming down the flank, getting across, deflected for a corner. It was all a bit bonkers, wasn't it?
It's mad. The whole thing's mad. It's just a, oh dear, we've got to stop this. Look,
I know. Michael Hernandez has just smashed in with a donation.
What for
$20, well, $19.99, because he likes to wind up Danny, and he says, for Movember, thanks for the show, gentlemen, tappy tappy.
Well, I've heard he leaves his plugs on with, like, the on switch on with no plugs as well. I've heard he does that.
We've got another one. It's not even November yet. I've got to go out and buy some razors so that I can trim all this lot. And then I'll be at me and Chris will get going to go and get some leathers and a big Harley Davidson and ride around the UK being special and high-fiving people.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Do you know what that'll look like?
Cheers, Michael.
You seen the bit in the office? Sorry, where the sidecar, that's what that'll look like.
Stephen Stell will be smashing in a £10 donation and he says, when are we going to get to the good bit? I tell you what, all of tonight's donations are going to the Movember fund for Danny and Ellis. And everything in November will go to that fund as well.
Yeah.
Okay, every penny.
It's better. If you want to, you can send us money via PayPal, because then if we get you don't lose any money, because YouTube take 40%.
Yeah, or donate straight on their Movember sites, please.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
give obviously. It to us. Give it to the Movember sites, okay? Right, okay, so let's get on to this. So, yeah, I'm not very happy at this point, lads. I'm really getting bored. Martinelli starts to really cheer me up. But then you get Lacazette. He picks up a yellow card, Chris, for a shoulder challenge, which it was something of a nothing, wasn't it? It really just summed up his night. He wasn't at the races. He was way off his game. That's not the Lacazette who plays the smile on his face and is at it.
No, but I mean, you know, I won't go over what I've said before, but I stand by it. I think you just got to give him a few weeks. I think it will take him a bit of time to get up to speed. Just on that point of the yellow card, I thought the referee was pretty bad tonight. He was given every like when did football turn into basketball? Like, when did it turn into, non-contact sport? No, like,
I missed that. Lacazette started diving.
Martinelli, like, in the second half, I mean, he's, what, about 4 stone soaking wet? And he shoved the guy, you know, he went in, good old-fashioned shoulder to shoulder, won the ball, and the referee's like, no, can't have that. I'm like, come on. You know, I do think that some of these refereeing decisions are a bit, getting a little bit soft, shall we say. You know, I still like the physicality of the game, and I didn't think he refereed it brilliantly. But no, Blacker will be fine. It's just, you know, we're a massively better side when he's in it. And I stand by what I said before. I think him and Alba play better when they're together. They're happier when they're together. And for me, that felt like a game almost that Laka went into thinking, yep, I can come into this, breeze through it, get a couple of goals, happy days. And the longer the game went on and the more he got double marked by their centre-halves, which he did the whole game, and the less supply he got, which increased as the game went on, the more frustrated he got. He's a winner. You know, he's a top-class centre-forward, and any centre-forward, you know, ask Diego Costa. Like, if you don't get supply, you get the ump. So,
right. Okay. You know. Okay, right. So then he gets subbed for Pepe. Dan, then we see Torreira winning a free kick, okay, outside the box. And what comes from that, you know, Pepe, he's just come on the pitch. He lines up alongside Guendouzi. There's only one man who's going to take this. Ooh la fucking la. What a free kick.
I'm really annoyed Sabas didn't take it. I've got to go along with you, Jace, because Pepe's shit. Chris said he'll come good, because Chris knows. Chris said about Guendouzi, because Chris knows. It's the Farmers League here. I mean, although my team are going to get relegated, I don't even know what's below League Two, Chris. What's below that?
Not a lot, Danny. Not a lot. I'll tell you that much.
But I looked at it and I thought, hold on. I'm not a betting person, people. I've got more money than I know what to do with. Sometimes I've got two £10 notes and I just throw them in the bin. But I set up a betting account and I was down to £1. Put tenner in, down to £1. I'm now back up to nearly 60 quid. Because at 2-1 down, I believed in Pepe. He brought Pepe on and I thought, that's it. He's going to do it. Him and Martinelli are going to do it. So I put 3 quid on at 11-2 and got £250 back. I think that's how it works. I'm not sure. I think that's exactly how it works. And I thought, come on, Pepe, please score just for me. And he did. And I thought, oh, wow, he placed that. And it wasn't a fluke off of a defender. Yeah. It wasn't like he doesn't know what he's doing. This is the kind of stuff that Chris said. When he comes to Arsenal, this is what he's going to do. Don't rely on him to score goals. He will get free kicks. He will get the penalties. He will score the penalties and the free kicks, and he will get assists. And if he gets other goals, then so be it. He isn't Lacazette. He isn't Aubameyang. That's not really his job. But we showed tonight. And then I thought, oh, I do hope he scores another one from a free kick, Jason. After, I don't know what happened.
But to be fair, Kate, it was fabulous. He lined that up. He let rip. And, you know, you've seen some up and down performances from him since he's been with us. We call it the way we see it, okay? Sometimes he's awful, sometimes he's been great. But he lined up for that, and he just took responsibility, and it was fabulous to see. Unique79 has just smashed into the donation, and he says, Bergkamp and Henry needed time, impatient fan base. But then, to be fair, you know,
exactly.
I don't think anybody's particularly had a go, I'm not sure, go at Pepe. They've called it the way we've seen it.
Did you hear that, Chris? No one's had a go at Pepe.
Wow.
Come on, riot, everybody, riot. Smash the place up.
Do you know what I was actually going to say? Maybe not on this platform, but actually that would be wrong as well.
Everybody's going to look at you.
I think Carl's called him the way he's seen it. I mean, you know.
I think Carl's talked utter bollocks about Pepe, but I love him anyway. Hi, Carl. Love you.
I know. I think he's been more unfair, to be fair. I mean, there have been a couple of poor performances. There have been a couple of awful performances for him.
10 games, Chase. He's had 10 games. He only bloody moved
the United performance was awful, okay? But this goal, let's concentrate on it tonight now, okay? What a goal from him. It's still a set piece goal, but it's not a penalty, and it's something to give him confidence. And he showed there looked like confidence after that, didn't it? He looked like he was the man. He felt he was the man. Chris, we then see Davidson shoot just wide from a good counter attack. Martinelli has a shot saved, good save by Silva. Pepe then has another free kick, which instead of taking a shot on target, it's a really nice cross for Holding. Holding with a decent header, Silva with a save. The game was on at this point, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was when we got the equaliser. I know, I much like Danny, I didn't back it with money. I have to stress, but I didn't see us not winning the game. I just didn't. You could physically see the opposition drop. You could see as soon as that goal went in, the equaliser. You could see all of them go, oh, fucking hell, we know what's coming, and you did. You could just feel it. Sometimes in games, you just get that feeling. You can kind of see what's coming. Somebody actually put in the chat, forgive me, I can't see who it was, I'm scrolling back frantically, but somebody made the point, I think it was somebody called Simon, anyway. Oh, here you go. Simon Jordan. Simon Jordan. I hope it's not the ex-Crystal Palace chairman.
That you're asking that every time.
He's a gooner.
My apologies, Simon, you're certainly not like that twat. Anyway, so is this, or was this Pepe's Dennis Bergkamp brace against Southampton moment? And it could be, you know, it could be, because people forget they play on confidence. And, you know, I saw somebody earlier on saying, should he smile more? He's probably not smiling more, because it's probably relief that the guy's been, you know, the guy's been taking unnecessary flack, unreasonable flack. It is funny how people see things. Eden Hazard has gone to Real Madrid and largely done fuck all. But yeah, apparently he's still one of the world's greatest players. Yet Pepe comes with a price tag that is not dictated by him at all, and takes a couple of months to settle. I'm not even sure he would have been starting games at this point had we not have had the shortness in that area.
Okay, but stop up, Declan. I'm going to come to you for the goal now, because I really agree. We're going to have to get this moving. I do apologise. Yeah, I know. I've got it. Sam Ruth smashes in with 4.99, and he says, Pepe has arrived. Worldly free kick goals. And you're not wrong, mate. But Chris, this is your moment now, pal. My notes are, Pepe's starting to look the part. So impressed the way he was holding himself at this point. He looked like he was just going to score. Then you see Guendouzi with a fabulous run, and this is what he does do well. And he took that ball, he drove it forward, he won a really, really good free kick. Kudos to him, because I thought that was his moment of the match, you know. Him and Pepe look over the ball. There's only one guy going to take it. Talk me through it, pal.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you pay the big bucks for, match-winning moments. And I know you'll get a lot of supporters from other teams in particular saying, oh, it's only against a second-rate team of farmers from Portugal. It's the Europa League. It doesn't count. Yeah, fuck off. At the end of the day, you have to be extremely confident in your own ability. You've got to have natural talent. Danny hit the nail on the head earlier on when he said, he didn't just walk up and thrash it. It didn't go in off some farmer's ass. That was quality. And this lad is quality. I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, the new Thierry or anything like that. He's still got to build on this. You know, you can't just sit there and say, right, two fantastic goals and, you know, ride off into the sunset. But that sort of free kick, and as you said, there was only one person going to hit it. As soon as he got that goal, the first goal looked like the weight had lifted. And then after that, as you said, when he got on the ball, he was tracking back, he was working hard, he holds the ball up. There was a lovely piece of play just before the free kick between him and Ceballos down in the right-hand corner where they, I don't know how, but they literally just played out around about six players pressing us. I mean, I had a heart attack with every pass, but it was brilliant. And I was thinking to myself, Christ, what a goal this would be. And it just shows the confidence that that a goal can give you. And when he stood over that second free kick, I never doubted it. The only thing that did surprise me was just how clinical the placement was, because no goalkeeper in the world is getting near that. That was postage stamp. And that is potentially the goal that will lift him. And he's a unique player as well. There are very, very few players in Europe right now that play the way he does. Yes, Wilfried Zaha is one of those players. But what I mean by that is he's tall, but he's elegant. He's very light footed. He's very soft footed, and he goes past players without even having to beat them. He has got.
I'm going to come at you here now, okay? Because as much as we've seen Pepe face tough times, we have seen those flashes of skill that he has got.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen the turn, you've seen him carry the ball, you've seen him attack players. I didn't watch the Sheffield game. I just listened to the radio, and the radio commentary. You know, he was involved in that a lot. You could hear it. It's all you could hear is he's taken a man on. Now, do you think he's been helped with the lack of space he's kind of given because he's played so high up the park? Does Unai need to play him a little bit further back? Do you think that would help him?
No, I don't. I honestly don't think that he's... I think when he started, I don't think he's given a specific role. I think he's given the freedom to play down that right-hand side. And it was interesting how him and Bellerin linked up, particularly in that sort of latter part of the game. It freed up Bellerin to know that he had an out ball every time. And he was looking for that ball every time. Pepe's an unpredictable talent as well, which is the other thing that we're not utilising enough. A lot of Premier League teams, we saw this, I think it was the Burnley game, where they tried to double man mark him. And he just rolled them every time because nobody really knows the sort of player he is because they haven't defended against him. I don't think we need to change how we deploy him. I just think those goals tonight will lift a huge weight off his shoulders. The price tag, as we said before, is not his fault, but it is a burden that he carries with him. You know, that's just life. And this you know, he may well play on Sunday and not score. He may well play on Sunday and not contribute an assist. But you can bet your ass those goals tonight will kickstart that career in terms of his own confidence and his willingness to go at players and take players on and commit them. Because it is one of those things that if you're not confident in yourself and you've got players, you know, players do read comments, they do hear. I saw people comparing the miss against Sheffield United to Jovinho at Bradford. Have a fucking word with yourselves. Seriously.
Don't go down that line.
That leads into a player's confidence, you know?
And yeah, I know, but come on. Let's not feed that nonsense, okay? Yes. You talk with players. Yeah, I know. I've seen it, okay? Are going to bring that up.
I'm going to try something new here. Someone has sent us money via PayPal, so can you bear with me for a second?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to do this. Screen share, and then we're going to go application window, no, Chrome tab, and then go to this one. Can you all see that?
Oh, I can see it.
If you can read that out, everyone can see that. If you want to send us money via PayPal, then YouTube don't get their 40%. And
Jonas Segnanberg has sent us 10 British pounds. And he says, fine, since you don't want poor YouTube to make a measly 40% for all their hard work, I'll donate via PayPal. Final note, since Danny hates charities, does he also hate our donations since he is so special? We're all kind of donating to charity, Danny. Love you, Christy, or whatever. Crusty. I don't know what the hell that means. Jonas, you are bonkers. I love it. That's magic.
For hating charities all my life. I've needed new chairs and stuff, and they've told me to go and fuck myself. So I've had to pay for chairs myself. And when they cost 1,500 quid each.
Okay, now you're boring me now. Okay, I don't give a fuck. Okay. Right, so on to questions. So we can turn around, we can say it's a pretty poor performance tonight, but we've got the win. And more at the point, we have seen two fabulous set-piece goals from Pepe, which is magic to see. You also saw Martinelli add to his body of work, which was excellent to see. It wasn't what the football we've been used to see in midweek,
But do you know what? Onwards, okay? It's on to Palace on Sunday. So we're going to go to questions now. I forgot what I was going to say. It went. First question of the night from T. Ronry 14 on Twitter. And he says, for the show, how many more poor results does Unai have before he's gone? I want you both to answer this because I'm going to be interested to see the disparity in the answers. Danny, you first.
I was busy typing in our PayPal email address. Ask me that question again.
Okay, how many more poor results does Unai have before he's gone?
The rest of the season.
Okay. Chris, do you think the same?
100%. Yeah.
I've got to be honest here. I can see them giving him till the end of the season. But like, if he loses four on the trot, I think he's gone.
If we suddenly lost, like, I don't know, 5-0 at Everton, 4-0 to Leicester, you know.
If you look at our next run of results here, okay? Next run of games, okay? So fixtures, Palace, Liverpool, okay? I know Liverpool's the Carabao Cup, so that's not a thing. But you got league fixtures, Palace, home. Wolves, home, okay? Leicester City away, Southampton home, and then Norwich away. You lose four of those, I think he could go. Because people are saying, oh, you know, he's... I've heard a lot of people say, oh, he was a... who was the ball twat who used to be our chairman? Ivan Gazidis. Not even appointment.
Yeah.
Okay. I fucking hate him, okay? But he was not even appointment. Ivan wanted to appoint Arteta. Raul and Sven talked him into Unai.
Mm. By the way, that could have gone horribly wrong as well.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I said at the time when we appointed Unai, I think he's the right appointment. You get the right mix of experience, you know, within clubs, winning European football. It just hasn't worked out great so far, you know. But he could turn this around, you know.
I agree with you. I sort of agree with your point, and at the same time, I also go, I don't agree with some of the point. Yeah. Like, because for me personally, I know this isn't a popular view. Oh, what shall I do? I don't think there's anything to turn around. Personally, I don't. I do agree. Some of the football could be better. Completely agree with that. But somebody tweeted the other night, is it the 12th man? I can't remember his Twitter handle. I retweeted it and he was spot on. The same people that are saying that we don't play good football and we're too rigid and all this are the same people that under Arsene Wenger said, we're not strong enough, we're not physical, we don't put tackle in, we don't stand up to teams, we're not defensively solid, yada, yada, yada. You can't put it both ways every time, you know?
But Chris, and the big problem I see, and I don't know how many times I've said this, I've harped on about this, there has been zero improvement from game one to now. There's just not.
And that's where we can have a healthy debate. Yeah. I disagree with you. And I also get so bored and so tired of these people that say, we don't have a footballing identity. Oh, God, it's so dull. It's so...
Yeah, but not being funny, Chris. This is a big thing. All the big clubs do. All the teams who win.
I don't agree, mate. Do you find Man City entertaining when they just pass the ball around first?
It doesn't matter if they're entertaining. They've won the league title. They won two league titles back to back. They scored 100 points in one of them. Mm. You know, they beat the team only lost one game the year after.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And you may not like it, but there's an identity there. You know what Spurs' identity is, okay?
I don't find anything they do. Let's
close teams down and let's fail. Okay, but look at you, mate. Look at Bayern. Look at Barca. You know, there's identities there. You may sneer at it, but it works for great managers. Unai's not a great manager, and we know that.
No, I agree with that. I don't think he is.
Let's move on. Sorry, pal.
No, it's fine.
Danny, John Bernstein asks, is AMN's Arsenal career over now, or is that more problem? And Or is that more of a problem with how Emery wants our centre-backs to split wide when we're playing the ball out the back?
Well, Pepe isn't going to play every game, is he? If you're going to play people in their correct positions, then it is Ashley's job is down the right hand side, be it the right. Will it be a Ray Parler, right midfield? Will it be a Pepe, right winger? Or will it be someone further forward, like maybe when Aubameyang goes over to the right hand side, where you've got all those three positions? I think Ashley can play in all three of those positions. He can. I know people said he was bad tonight, but again, he's been playing regularly, and he's not been playing in his regular position. He's not been getting the advancing his career in the under-23s like a lot of players would be. He's like Edin Nketiah. He's missed out a whole chunk of his under-23 career coming into the first team and covering. So he's still not even 100% sure what is his best position. So I think now he's definitely got a future, maybe even alone, because who else are we going to play on the right-hand side? We've only got one player at the moment, attacking player, who plays on the right-hand side. So his whole thing is going to be as a backup player or playing in League Cup games, your early rounds of the FA Cup, playing in the Europa League. I think the only reason Pepe came on tonight is because we were in trouble.
Yeah, well, we're going to wait and see. I mean, you know, he's going to be with the season. It depends how the season progresses. That's going to be the big thing because, you know, the manager's under pressure, players are under pressure, everybody's under pressure at the moment. Chris, Sterling CFC asks, should Kieran Tierney start most games for Arsenal?
He's a Celtic fan. All
that. When he's fit, yeah, absolutely, because he's the best left back at the club.
The thing is, I do agree what you said earlier on, okay? I think, you know, Unai stepped in a rock in a hard place. Everybody wants him to play Tierney, Hector, Holding. These guys are coming back from long-term serious injuries. They have to be managed properly. You can't just, you know, you have to listen to the medical advice. And we saw Tierney go down towards the end of the game with cramp. You know, that is something which could have been a little bit more, isn't it? You know, they have to be, he has to be cautious.
And also, you've got to have a reason to drop the players that are in that position. Now, personally, I've seen enough of Kolasinac to say I'm ready for him to be dropped personally. I don't think he's a bad attacking option, but I do think he's very one-dimensional and I think he's defensively wretched. So I would like to see Tierney there. And of the three, between him, Holding and Bellerin, he's the first one that I would be integrating in as a full-time regular player. I don't want to see Bellerin anywhere near this team until the end of November. I'll put that on record right now because I don't think he's anywhere near ready. I really don't. And I think we're putting far too much pressure on a lad who's just come back from a career-threatening injury to just throw him in to a position that's requiring him to get up and down. And more to the point, Callum Chambers has done a bloody good job in recent weeks. You know,
I've got to be honest with you, okay? I think I'd rather see Callum in a centre-back. I really would, okay?
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a better. But what I'm saying is, until Bellerin's 100%, Chambers is doing an absolutely fine job where he is, you know, and I would keep him there. And, you know, and for all the stick they take, there has been signs that Socrates and David Luiz are starting to form a bit more of an understanding. I'm not saying it's, you know, it's perfect. There's still faults, but it's been a lot better of late.
What did we do on Monday?
We made one defensive lapse on Monday, which cost us a goal, but neither of those two were at fault, in my opinion. But it's one of those situations where long term, I think we all agree we'd like to see Holding in there, not just because he's an Arsenal boy, but he's a quality centre back.
Get on with it.
Okay, so the one thing I would add to that, mind you, is that remember where Unai gets all his width from. Don't expect Tierney or Hector to magically solve the defensive problems overnight. They are going to be up just as high as anybody else. So, you know, remember that. Okay, Danny, Data K LBC asks, would you agree the most likely scenario regarding Ozil is the club don't want to trigger performance or appearance-based incentives in his contract?
Firstly, Loki has sent us a donation via PayPal for Movember of £9.99. I didn't cut and paste it because he's used his real name there and we don't want to give away. Because
he's a star.
He's a spy. Also, look who's there. It's my little brother. No. 3 years, 9 months, and 1 day younger.
There's another one of you. Christ.
My mum's probably watching as well. You know my mum, Jace.
Moogie.
You're a shitbag. It's nice to see that Data's being nice because it's been a bit.
Data's always nice. She has a go now and again, but she's always nice.
She's being horrible to me earlier, telling me I was talking shit.
But to be fair, Dan, I tell you,
Yeah, there we go.
I tell you, you're talking shit most of the time, pal.
Sometimes he wakes me up and just tells me I'm talking shit and puts the phone down.
Get on with it.
I can't remember what the question was.
Do you think performance-related payment issues?
No,
anything to do with
it? No, I've asked people on Twitter about this, and I said, is it wrong to assume that the only reason Ozil is still at the club is because the amount of money they're making for him in merchandise and shirts and all that other stuff that I don't really get all around the world is covering his wages and then some and helping us open up avenues into other countries that that like Ozil because they're Real Madrid fans. And a lot of people said yes. So I think that's the only reason he's still at the club. Plus, in the entire time when he was at Real Madrid, no one tried to buy him. We were the only ones who went in for him. And the entire time he's been at Arsenal, I mean, you look back at Fabregas, Van Persie, Henri, Vieira, all of our top earners at the club, our best players, they were all poached. People are always after them. How many times have people come in for Ozil? Never.
Well, other than Inter, who wanted him really on a free loan.
Yeah, they want it. As long as we pay
his wages. As long as you do everything for him, we'll just take the player, yeah. The Mkhitaryan deal, as I call it, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I must add that I think Ozil should be in the match day squad as often as possible. And if a new manager came in, Ozil would be playing. It's just a personal beef between him and Emery. And I think Ozil is kind of hard done by. I don't think it's overly fair.
I tend to agree with you. I do see the flip side of the argument, though. I've got to be honest with you. There are two sides to this one, and, you know, only a couple of people really know the truth on it.
Is it a coincidence, Jason, since Simon Collings, a gentleman that we know quite well, has been working quite close to Arsenal, there's been quite a lot of, friction between manager and the player. I wonder if Simon has something to do with this. I'm not sure I trust him.
I genuinely think after pre-season, you saw Ozil performing really well in the team, and then you saw Ozil see Sai, and he likes himself a bit of Spidey, and he's thinking, ooh la la.
Yeah.
I think Unai's well gel.
Simon's got his nudes. Possibly.
Well, you know, we have seen the
young we've all seen photos. Simon's Instagram stories at 2 a.m. You know, we know what he gets up to. So
what that boy does in Lederhosen is nobody's business. Okay. Let's get on with this. You shit back. By the way, have I got 150 likes yet? Because if I haven't, I'm coming for somebody. I'm not happy. Chris Thomas McClements asks, if you had to choose between an Unai contract extension and being punched in the bollocks, who's punching you in the bollocks?
I'll take an extension all day long.
Literally. I'll punch you in the bollocks, Chris. I'll do that.
It's not a fair question, you rotter. I get it, but I don't agree.
Fair enough. Danny, Pete Colson asks, I laughed at Manua fans last season, wanting United to lose to get Maureen out. Now I know how they feel. How they felt, sorry. I hate feeling like this. I want to do the Emery wimp ball discuss.
Who said this?
Pete Coulson.
Ah, it's Pete, so I'll be nice. I don't agree. There is one moron who has a YouTube channel who shouldn't be allowed to talk to himself in a phone box. And I want Emery to lose just to get him out. I want Arsenal to lose just to get Emery out of the club. That, if you say that, you can't be an Arsenal fan. There is under no circumstance. In fact, the only circumstance I'd like Arsenal to lose is if they were playing Peterborough in the FA Cup final so Peterborough could get into Europe because they're top of League One at the moment. It's going to happen, people. Other than that, you should never, ever, ever want your team to lose. Not that Pete's saying that, because Pete is a mate of ours. But when other people say that, morons who have other YouTube channels that are fucking shouldn't be saying things like that, it annoys me. Why would you ever want Arsenal to lose unless you've got £50 on it?
And if you want the link to John Welsh's new YouTube show, just let us know and we'll pull that on. I'm joking, John. I promise.
Carly Duelguna, I'm taking this one. Carly Duelguna asks, had we lost this game, would Emery have been sacked today? No. No, I think it would take 4 Premier League losses on the trot for him to get sacked.
I think it might take more than that, Jace.
No.
Someone did make a good point on Twitter. They said it would cost £6 million.
I can't believe that for a second.
Sorry. Someone made a point on Twitter saying that it would cost Arsenal £6 million to get rid of Emery now, but it would cost us over £40 million to not make the Champions League. And I think that's worth
taking. Yeah.
And I've got to be honest, I look at some of the players I've seen regressing. And I think it would get to a point where look what the damage he's doing. Because to me tonight, now Chris will disagree with this. And I get why he would disagree with the point I'm about to make, but I think he's lost the dressing room. I think he lost the dressing room a few weeks ago. I don't think anybody's particularly happy with the way they're playing.
And also making Xhaka captain.
I don't think that's been the
player's choice, wasn't it?
Yeah, the players. That was a little bit Brexity.
Look, I just genuinely think he's lost the dressing room.
He got one vote and he got it.
The only thing I'll say, and we don't know either way, Jason.
No, we're hypothesizing.
The only thing I'm going to say is the same thing I said when everybody, when God bless Jeff would come on here and he would defend Arsenal to the hilt. God bless him. And I'd stand in the trenches going, go on, Jeff. Me and you, Jace, would be behind him going, we'll behind you, Jeff. And I'll say the same thing I said then. And I'll say the same thing now. Be careful what you wish for. It's all right sitting there saying Unai out. Yeah, let's bring in Allegri. Allegri wouldn't he would laugh at a job offer from Arsenal at the moment. And more to the point, his football would be worse. So let's just not go overboard here.
But this is the thing, see, Chris. I can handle when people call Unai pragmatic, I feel sick. Okay? Because he's not pragmatic.
Can't pronounce it properly.
No, because pragmatic managers don't let 51 league goals in the season, okay? They defend properly. But this is the thing, okay? I'm happy. If Unai turns this around and starts winning, I'm happy. You know, that's great. But at the moment, I got no emotional investment in Unai. I got no loyalty towards him whatsoever.
You do have an emotional investment, Jace. I sent OG a message last night and said, I think Jace is having a breakdown in our WhatsApp group.
I know. Just...
It was about 9 messages. One, fuck. You needed to go in a quiet room and have a little cry, Jace.
I was on a vent, okay?
I think Jace needs a hug.
I'm not being funny. I was just on a vent, okay? But, like, you know, there's things you feel. You know when you feel angry? I'm not going to go onto Twitter and just cunt the manager off, okay? I don't believe in that. I do believe in taking the piss and having a bit of fun. I'm not going to do that to the guy. I don't believe in it. You see what's happened to Mustafi. You see what's happened to Xhaka. It's fucking wrong and it's fucking embarrassing, okay? But I do it in a WhatsApp group. So you fuckers have got to put up with all that nonsense. And it's like, oh my God, he needs therapy. But I feel a hell of a lot better after it, to be honest with you.
I tell you what will be interesting, Jason. I know this is foresight rather than hindsight, but I tell you what will be really interesting. And that is if we end up making the top four under Unai. That'll be really, really interesting to see how people react.
Look, I got to be honest with you. It'll depend how performance develops. Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think he gets sacked either way, mate. I don't think he stays. Because if he's playing the same style of football he is at the moment, we'd have scraped in. There's no sign of improvement. If you're Raul and Vinny, okay, it's your head on the block if he fails again. And you can't take this football, this dog shit that we're serving up, into the Champions League next season. Because you'll get past the group stages, but after that...
I do love how many people, and don't get me wrong, I love you all. Generally, this is not a shot at you, but I love how many people in the chat box are saying Rafa Benitez. Have you watched his football? Have you watched the game of Rafa Benitez? When he was at Real Madrid, they hated him. When he was at Chelsea, they hated him. I know he brought success, I know. But if we're talking about footballing identity, yikes. That's all I'm going to say. But okay. I love you all.
Yeah.
So
it is interesting to see, isn't it? Danny, Cars and Coffee asks, why can't Emery figure out how to break a deep stand sitting team? Not only at this game, previous games, we're so boring to watch. We keep on going forwards, sideways.
I did notice this the other day when we were playing. I'll try and keep this short, but I noticed when we're on the counter-attack far too often, our players will get the ball and stand there. And I'm thinking, fucking pass it again. Keep running. Pass it. Quick passing. They don't. They stand there. They have a little think. And then they pass it to someone. And by that time, the other team has run down and caught up. Because when you've got Aubameyang one side, you've got Pepe on the other. Well, Aubameyang was up front and Pepe on the other side against Sheffield United. We're running down there. And I'm thinking, well, keep on going. And they won't keep on going. It's like they've been told to wait for other people to catch up with them. What's Aubameyang's strength when it was at Dortmund? It was running at people, turning them inside out, much like Henri. Henri didn't thrive from having balls chucked in for him from the corners, did he? That wasn't working. If you're playing against the likes of Aubameyang and Pepe, you're going to shit your pants if they're running at you with the ball. You're not going to care if they're standing in the area with you and they're going to try and head to the ball. So I think that's what the problem is. We need to make the most of our players and keep on running. It's no point doing a counter-attack if when you get down to the last third of the pitch, you're just going to slow down and wait for your players to catch you up because the opposition will catch up. And I've noticed we do that quite a lot and it's driving me nuts.
Well, it's not pretty to watch, to be fair. It's really not. I'm going to wrap this up now, guys. One last question because we got a couple of notifications to go through before we finish the show off. Have we had 150 likes yet? 144. You lot are taking the piss. Can I have 6 more likes now, please? Get on with it. Fucking Unai Emery's. Honestly, you all out. All out. One last question. They're not going to do anything about Ozil because I'm bored to tears of him now. I will do this. And John Bernstein. Michael Hernandez, sorry. Is Guendouzi too young for captain? Oh, I think he is. Way too young.
You don't need that. You don't need that rucksack full of bricks on his back.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the age. It's about the responsibility. Yeah. You don't need an armband to do what the kid's doing. Just let him do what he's doing because what he's doing is bloody brilliant.
And leave him develop his game because you can actually see the improvements he's made from last season. He's going to continue to develop. You know, there's times where he's going to need to be sat down. There's times where he's going to need to flourish. Leave him do that. Right, the Gooners podcast started something here. And he's a twat, isn't he? He's a twat.
What's that tit done now?
He says, I'll donate 20 quid to Movember via PayPal if Danny and Jace will take their shirts off on the pod. I'll pass on Chris.
You're not allowed to go topless on any of the formats. Hold up.
Michael Hernandez.
This is chatterbait, you
know? That's the thing. Michael Hernandez pops in. I'll add an additional $10 on top of the Gooners podcast donation for Chris. Then Jonas Segtenberg pops in. I'll add another $20 on top of the Gooners pod donation for topless action. I won't watch it, but I want everyone else who watches to see it. And I think somebody else has chopped in as well. Right, I tell you what, guys, I'm prepared to do it.
Careful. But
you don't mind taking your top off.
I haven't agreed to anything yet. Thank you very much.
Your top off all the time to behave, okay? Danny, will you do this? But they've got to reach 300 quid. No, 500 quid.
I'm people to see this shit.
Seriously. End of November, 500 quid to Movember, stating topless, okay? We'll all take your tops off on here, Beam.
Jim House has donated 2 quid to keep them on. I like that better far more. Jim's got the right fucking idea.
Jim House is a top man, isn't he? He's a top man. So, look, if you donate to Ellis's or Danny's Movember, and if you add topless to it, if we hit 500 quid, we'd all
we
take
don't need
tops
any more
off
of this chase, do we?
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, for the love of God, make it stop.
Oh, look at that. That's superb. Oh,
God, take it away.
I don't need any more of that, people. I don't need pain to get naked.
He doesn't. In any case, right, let's get on with this. So, a couple of shout-outs. Right on. So first of all, Paul Heyman. He knows who he is. He's on here. Happy anniversary to David Marr. Top man, David. Been a massive supporter of the show from the start. Movember, Ellis Mel. As we all know, look, Ellis has gone through a tough time recently. But he did Movember last year, okay, raising money for men's health issues. Please support him and Danny this year. We will be tweeting the link from the pod account. You know, if it's a retweet, it's appreciated. If you've got a spare couple of quid, it's really, really appreciated. Ali Gez, how do I donate? He says,
our PayPal account, or Danny will be retweeting the Movember thing from the pod account, and he'll be putting a link in here. You know, unfortunately, this year we lost our good friend Steve, the Lord Hillwood. Ellis has lost his dad. You know, we know so many people who lose friends and family to cancer. We're just trying to have a little bit of fun, put a smile back on people's faces, and raise a couple of quid for a really good charity. You know, that's all we're trying to do here. If you can help, it is really appreciated. You are fucking rock stars, and we really, really appreciate that. You know, if it's just a retweet, it helps us. That's all that matters. It's just a little bit of a retweet. If you can't afford it, don't worry about it. You know, don't go short for other people. Take care of yourselves first. But if you can help, we really, really do appreciate that. Everything from tonight's show is going towards Movember. Okay?
The rest of this month.
It's not, yeah, okay, until the end of November, everything we get from now until the end of November goes to Movember. But if you want tops off, you've got to put topless on there, so be wary. I need to hit 500 quid
at least. Get Dom on, like, if you're gonna do
we'll get everybody top. We get, to be fair, we'll get everybody topless for 500 quid. Don't we?
That'd be good. I'll be Christmas.
Fucking hell, you can be. September, October, November, and December.
Yeah, I'm only doing it this year. We always help out Mike with his Gooners v Cancer. We do that. We do that every year. We help out Chris with the Pirates every year. But personally, the only time I'm doing anything charity wise is this year, because they've never helped me with anything I need. I needed a grabber.
Okay. No personal. I need a new hat. I've got loads to get through.
I need biscuits. I need crisps.
Okay, last week I did with the fantastic Jay Core and Paul Price of Crystal Palace fans fame. We did another mental health special. It's up on YouTube. It's there on iTunes. Give it a listen. But more importantly, at 9 a.m. before the Palace game, from Selhurst Park, they'll leave. Walk and Talk is leaving, walking to the Emirates. If you look online, there's plenty of retweets about it. Walk and Talk, in conjunction with Samaritans, they're basically raising awareness for men's mental health issues. We've had a bit of feedback on last year's show where we've had thanks from people. People have told us how we've helped. And this is the walk that's done this, but they heard it via ourselves. Their lives have been changed by this, okay? Mental health is a real issue. We know that nowadays. We know it's a serious, serious, serious issue. Okay? So just by retweeting or taking part, raising awareness, you're helping people. Right? Join the walk. There are a top bunch of people. Ed Loud, who took his granddad, he's in the box there, okay? 9 a.m., they're leaving Selhurst Park to get to the Emirates. They have a pint. There's a chat. They have a really bloody good time, okay? A problem shared is a problem halved a lot of the time, or it's a starting point for people to address the issues or the hurdles they're facing in life, okay? It's not a magic wand. It's a starting point. So if you can support that, we'd really appreciate it, okay? So retweet about the Walk and Talk. Give the podcast a listen. The guys will explain exactly what's happened on there. Thank you for your support and that. We really, really, really appreciate it. If you are suffering, people, just remember, okay, be brave. Start talking to somebody. Start trusting somebody about it. Speak to your GP. Phone the Samaritans. Speak to your mates. The first thing is starting to acknowledge that you have an issue, and then you can get over it. Then you can face it. You know, we've seen, in the last 6 months, we saw Steve battle cancer, and the mental fortitude he showed in that was unbelievable. I've seen Ellis Mel deal with the passing of his father, the bravery those guys have shown in what they faced and how they're still dealing with it, you know, Ellis is, but they have acknowledged they've got a problem and they're dealing with it. That is massive.
and my hat goes off to them. You are not alone. If you want to speak to anybody, you can speak to us. We're not much fucking use, to be honest with you, but we know who to put you in touch with. So please don't be scared of that. To everybody in the chat box, thank you ever so much for your support tonight. Jamie Fitzgerald has smashed in another donation, and he said he arrived Nick Cage. Sorry, Nick Pepe.
Okay, I don't know what these We've had another here. PayPal donation as well, I'm highlighting there.
Who's that?
Just put it on the screen.
I don't know, way behind you. Sorry.
Oh, it's on the screen that we're on.
Ali.
Oh, there you are. Ali Gezen. Gezgen. Ali Gez. Ali Gez. Thank you very much, mate. And that is Ali Gezgenel. Gezgenel. Okay, I've got that. Gary, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that. So the chat box, superb as ever. You're brilliant. We love you. Wouldn't be the same without you. I've now got my 150 likes, so we are about to finish. You know, we've just held on for that. To everybody's donated tonight, the magnificent Stefan Selby, Michael Hernandez, Michael Hahnemann, Ali Gezgenel, Jamie Fitzgerald, he's popped in with 3 or 4 now, Chris Nadato, the man from across the pond, he's off his head, J. Rob, Gabriel Gamal Kaufman, Daniel Kupka, Unique 79, Sam Ruth, Loki 73, Jonas Septenberg, Jim Housen. You are fucking magic. You're brilliant. Thank you ever so much. What can I say? You keep on impressing us, and we keep on being absolutely overawed by you all.
Oh, we've had another 15 quid from Michael Hahnemann.
Michael Hahnemann, you just keep on
he
going.
He always does it.
He always does it. To those of you listening on any other platform, whether it be iTunes, whether it be Acast, it doesn't matter. Walk and Talk is happening. November's happening. If you can support them, we really, really would appreciate it. It's just a retweet. That's all it needs. That's all we want, okay? But thank you ever so much for your support and listening to us. Because again, we're just a bunch of twats talking bollocks without you. So thank you.
Michael had a little note in his donation. For you three to keep your tops on, don't be like Emery.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's all I've been doing is say, Danny, thank you so much, mate.
It's been an absolute joy. Thank you very much, everybody who's been stuffing money down our pants. And my mum seems to fancy the one who looks like he's in a boy band. I think she means Chris.
Chris, I really enjoyed that, pal. Good to chat with you again.
God bless Danny's mum. She's only human. We all have a weakness for men with long hair. Pleasure, Jace. Yeah, and yeah, to everybody in the chat and for the donation, thank you all very, very much. Don't do this as much as I'd like to, and I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me. A lot of people agree with me, but whatever side of the fence you are, I love you all. It comes from a good place. So thank you very much.
It's just perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were going to go for an hour tonight. It's now, we're in 40.
With you two on.
You've had a bonus podcast, boys and girls, and we didn't even charge you for it.
Hold up, yeah. Okay, you two carpenter the shit out of that.
Shut up, did I?
I thought we were quite reserved. I
love it. No matter what your views, guys, we've got Palace on the weekend. There will be a show straight after the game. John Welsh is back. Danny, switch your shit off. Good night, people. Keep it Arsenal.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.